Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, and praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Deans with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with the Life Support Outreach Church and our prayer room ministry. So delighted this evening to be back on our radio broadcast for the study of the Word of God. I just give God all the praise and all the glory on tonight. I magnify his holy name tonight. I give God praise. Hallelujah. I thank and praise him for just another opportunity to study the Word of God. I don't know what happened today. I scheduled everything this morning, but I don't know, last night when I had scheduled prophet is wrong, but evidently it didn't take. So we're going to, after we finish answering the questions and stuff, we can just get off because I don't know how long and what people have had planned. So we're going to get ready. I'm not going to even play any music. I'm just going to read the scripture and pray. If it'll come back. Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the... Wait a minute. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doeth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whosoever he doeth, whatsoever he doeth, shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I have just read you from Psalms 1 in its entirety. May God richly add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, but most of all, the doers of his most holy word. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to study your word on together tonight, Father. We just give you all the praise and glory. We magnify your holy name on tonight, God. We glorify you tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I just come just repenting, asking for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask you tonight, God, to just let the Holy Ghost take over. Let me decrease that the Holy Ghost may take over and take control of this Bible class on tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, do what you do best. Bless everyone under the sound of my voice, our understanding, our minds, and our understanding, even our heart, God, that we may receive this word just like you give it to us. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen, amen, amen. So let it be. Amen. So we give glory and praise to the Lord on tonight. We're coming from the book of Samuel, chapter 2 Samuel, chapter 15, I think, and 16.
Yeah, amen.
2 Samuel, chapter 15 and 16. And you all may read the word.
Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 15. After this, it happened that Absalom provided himself with chariots and horses, and 50 men to run before him. Now Absalom would rise early and stand beside the way to the gate. So it was whenever anyone who had a lawsuit came to the king for a decision that Absalom would call to him and say, "What city are you from?" And he would say, "Your servant is from such and such and a tribe of Israel." Then Absalom would say to him, "Look, your case is good and right, but there is no deputy of the king to hear you." Moreover, Absalom would say, "Oh, that I were made judge in the land, and everyone who has any suit or cause would come to me, then I would give him justice." And as so it was, whenever anyone came near to bow down to him, that he would put down his hand and take him and kiss him. In this manner, Absalom acted toward all Israel who came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the heart of the men of Israel. Now it came to pass after 4 years that Absalom said to the king, "Please let me go to Hebron and pay the vow which I made to the Lord. For your servant took a vow while I dwelt at Geshur in Syria, saying, 'If the Lord indeed brings me back to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord.' And the king said to him, 'Go in peace.' So he arose and he went to Hebron. Then Absalom sent spies throughout all of the tribes of Israel, saying, 'As soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom reigns in Hebron.' And with Absalom with 200 men invited from Jerusalem, and they went along innocently and said, not knowing anything. And Absalom sent Ahithophel, a Gileadite, David's counselor, from his city, from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. And the transparency grew strong, for the people with Absalom continually increased in number. Now a messenger came to David, saying, "The hearts of the men of Israel are with Absalom." So David said to all his servants who were with him in Jerusalem, "Arise and let us flee, or we shall not escape from Absalom. Make haste to depart, lest he take over us suddenly and bring disaster upon us and strike the city with the edge of the sword." And the king's servant said to the king, "We are your servants, ready to do whatever my lord commands." Then the king went out with all his household after him, but the king left 10 women concubines to keep the house. And the king went out with all the people after him and stopped by the outskirts. Then all his servants passed before him, and all the Sherethites and all the Peliathites and all the Gittites, 600 men who had followed him from Gath, passed before the king. And the king said to Ittai, the Gittite, "Why are you so going with us? Return and remain with the king, for you are a foreigner and also an exile from your own place. In fact, you come only yesterday. Should I make you wander up and down with us today, since I go, I know not where. Return and take your brethren back. Mercy and truth be with you. But Ittai answered the king and said, as the Lord lives, and as my lord the king lives, surely in whatever place my lord shall be, whether in death or life, even there also your servant will be. So David said to Ittai, go and cross over. Then Ittai, the Gilteite, and all his men and all the little ones who were with him crossed over. And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people crossed over. And the king himself also crossed over at Brook Kidron, and all the people crossed over the way of the wilderness. There was Zadok also, and all the Levites with him, bearing the Ark of the Covenant. And they set down the Ark of God, and Abiathar went up until all the people had finished crossing over from the city. Then the king said to Zadok, carry the Ark of God back into the city. If I find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me back and show me both it and his dwelling place. But if he says thus, I have no delight in you, here I am, let him do to me as seems good to him. The king also said to Zadok, the priest, are you not a seer? Return to the city in peace, and your two sons with you, Ahimelech, your son Jonathan, the son of Abiathar. See, I will wait in the plains of the wilderness until words come from you to inform me. Therefore, Zadok and Abiathar carried the Ark of God back to Jerusalem, and they remained there. So David went up by the ascent of the mountains of Olives and wept as he went up, and he had his head covered and went barefoot. And all the people who were with him covered their heads and went up weeping as they went up. Then someone told David, saying, Ahithophel is among his conspirators and Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Now it happened when David had come to the top of the mountain where he worshiped God, there was Hushai the Archite coming to meet him with his robe torn and dust on his head. David said to him, if you go with me, then you will become a burden to me. But if you return to the city and say to Absalom, I will be your servant, O king, as I, your father's servant previously, so I will now also be your servant. Then you may defeat the counsel of Ahithophel with me. And do you not have Zadok and Abiathar with you there? Therefore, it will be that whatever you hear from the king's house, you shall tell to Zadok and Abiathar the priest. Indeed, they have there with them two sons, Ahimelech, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son, and by them you shall send me anything you hear. So Hushai, David's friend, went into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Chapter 16. And when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread and 100 bunches of raisins and 100 of summer fruit and a bottle of wine. And the king said unto Ziba, "What meanest thou by this?" And Ziba said, "The ass is before the king's household to ride on, and the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink." And the king said, "And where is thy master's son?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he abideth in Jerusalem, at Jerusalem, for he said, today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father." Then said the king of Ziba, "Behold, thine are all that pertaineth unto Mephibosheth." And Ziba said, "I humbly beseech thee that I may find grace in thy sight, my lord, O king." And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei, when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. The Lord has returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned, and the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son, and behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abishai, the son of Zariah, unto the king, "Why should the dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head." And the king said, "What have I to do with you, ye sons of Zariah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so?" And David said unto Abishai and to all the his servants, "Behold, my son, which came forth of my bowel, seeking my life, how much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day." And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him, and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. And the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there. And Absalom and all the people of the men of Israel came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel with him. And it came to pass when Hushai, the Archite, David's friend, was come unto Absalom, that Hushai said unto Absalom, God said the king, God save the king, God save the king. And Absalom said unto Hushai, is this thy kindness to thy friend? Why wentest thou not with thy friend? And Hushai said unto Absalom, nay, but whom the Lord and this people and all the men of Israel choose, his will I be, and with him will I abide. And again, whom should I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son, as I have served in thy father's presence? So will I be in thy presence? Then said Absalom to Ahithophel, give counsel among you what we shall do. And Ahithophel said unto Absalom, go in unto thy father's concubines, which he has left to keep the house, and all the Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. So they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house, and Absalom went in unto his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel, and the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. The word of God for the people of God. Amen.
Amen, amen, and praise the Lord. We're going to answer these questions. The first question is in chapter 15, what did Ziba say Mephibosheth had decided to do? What did he decide to do? What did Ziba say? Go on.
Are we on 15 or 16?
No, I messed up here. Okay. What did Absalom do at the entrance of the city gate? I'm sorry. I got a couple of things.
Absalom, I guess he was very determined that he was going to be ruler. He stood at the front of the gates where I guess the people sounded like they were coming in, and he wanted to hear the complaints of the citizens. So he made himself readily available to stand and waiting for the people and insinuating that the king was too busy to hear them.
Yeah, that's right. He was conspiring really against David. That's what he was called himself doing. Like you said, he was just trying to tell them of stuff against David and conspiring to take over is really what he was trying to do. And to be ruler is what he was trying to do, but it's not going to work. what corner decided to remain with David when he departed from Jerusalem?
Ittai.
Yeah. He stayed with David. Huh?
Verse 19.
I thought it was 21, but it's probably
21. Yeah, verse 21. Yeah, I think he started the conversation in 19.
Okay. Yeah, he did start it at 19. Good. Who became informants for David in Jerusalem? I have, because I guess they'd be starting at some and then finishing. Because I got verse 24, but I think it's 29. Because I guess they started there.
42, Zadok and Abiathar.
Yep. Okay. Who did David ask to counter the counsel of his former servant, Ahithophel? Who did David ask to counter the counselor? And that should be in 37. 34. Who shot? Got 34. But it's telling us too that the alcohol would be. Yeah, because you know what? That 37 don't say nothing but his name. But I don't even think 34 got his name, do it? But if I return to the city and say unto Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king. As I have been thy father's servant hitherto, so will I now also be thy servant. Then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. And hast thou not there with Zodak Amathar the priest? Therefore it shall be that what thing soever thou shalt hear out of the king's house, thou shalt tell it to Zodak and Hibathar the priest. Behold, they have there with them their two sons, Ahimaaz, Zodok's son, and Jonathan's Ahithophel's son, and by them ye shall send unto me everything that ye can hear. So Hushaiah, David's friend, came into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. I don't know. It's somewhere in between there. It's somewhere in between there. But it is Hushaiah.
What was the question again, Apostle?
Who did David ask to counter the counsel of his former servant, Ahithophel?
It wasn't Absalom, because I was reading 31, and it say, and one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirator Absalom. Oh, and David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of. Oh, so he told God.
No, it's like. Anyway, it was David's friend Hushiah, whatever his name is, to do it.
Okay.
Yeah, he was just praying at the end that he. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, because see, I don't have my Bible with me. I'm reading off the my telephone and my laptop not working, so I got little to go by. I don't have my Bible.
Yeah, he said. So what he did was, when he realized that the person that told David that Ahithophel was conspiring with Absalom, he was praying that God would make it to where he could make, you know, that God would make a, you know, fool out of, you know,
right.
Ahithophel
right.
for being like that. So then in 32, it says David was coming to the summit, and that's when Hushiah came and met him, and that's when he asked Hushiah to be the person to go in. That's why he said he returned to the city and say to Absalom, I'll be your servant, O king. As I have been your father's servant, so I'll be your servant. Then you can thwart the counsel of Ahithophel. So he's saying, if you go back and pretend like you're going, you know, then you can, well, he's going to, you know, go there and help, you know. So, yeah, like you said, Hushiah is a person, but it looks like it just starts way back around 32 where Hushiah comes in. They start having a conversation. And then all the way to 37, where I guess he went. He went to Absalom. You know, he went to Jerusalem. So probably all those verses.
Right. So, you're right. Well, let's go to 16 and see, because I'm telling you, the devil did not want us to have this Bible class tonight, and I was determined. I didn't care whether I had the Bible, because it's on my telephone. And then I don't have internet, so I have my personal hotspot to get this on. It's just something, but sometimes God don't, you know, you have to keep pressing. You can't let it stop you. So chapter 16, what did Ziba say Mephibosheth had decided to do? What did he say he had decided to do? So he had decided to, I think it's in somewhere around verse 3, where he stayed in Jerusalem for perhaps the kingdom might be returned to him. So I'm thinking it's somewhere around verse 3. Wait a minute. Let me just. And the king said unto Ziba, what meanest thou by these? And Ziba said, the asses be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and the summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink. And the king said, and where is thy master's son? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he abided at Jerusalem for he said, today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my family. So this must be Saul's son, Jonathan's son. Is this Jonathan's son talking?
Yeah, no, that's Ziba. Let me see.
Ziba.
I thought Ziba was.
He must.
Mephibosheth.
Mephibosheth, I know, is Jonathan's son.
Well, that's who I thought it might have been. But no, this Ziba, whose son is that?
Let's see. Is it Mephibosheth's servant? Let's see. I thought that's what it was.
He must be a servant.
And he decided to then said the king to Ziba, behold, thine are all that pertain unto Mephibosheth. So that must be the servant, because he said, I'm going to just paraphrase, you are all, behold, thine are all that pertain unto Mephibosheth. That's Jonathan's son, right? And Ziba said, I come to beseech thee that I may find grace in thy sight, my Lord, O King. And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family, the man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. And he came forth and came, and he cast stones at David and at the servant of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and his left hand. So he stayed in Jerusalem for a while.
Ziba was Saul's servant.
That's what he was. And see, they still had that. They still had that thing because Saul did not like David, and some of them was doing stuff. Even how David took Jonathan's son, he still was with Saul's servant and people, you know. So we just gonna see how this played out, because David sent for him. He ate at David's table just like any other king's son would have. And so he needed to be grateful that David treated him like he did. So, number eight, let me see. Who cursed David and threw rocks at him? And that was Shimei.
Verse 3 or 5. Shema. 5 and 6. Where tells, she says his name, I think, in verse 5. And then 6, says what he did.
And why did David not kill him? See, that's the thing. It said why he didn't kill him. Because I feel like that David had a heart. He didn't have that kind of heart to kill him anyway. He didn't have that kind of heart. It's Shimei.
And he was trying to show them that God gonna fight his battle. That's what he was basically saying in verse 12.
David felt he was sent from God, and perhaps God would have mercy on his suffering. You know. And let me see, verse 12 says, it may be that the Lord will look on my afflictions, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. And the king and all of the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there. Salon and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel with him. And it came to pass when Hushai, the Archite, David's friend, was come unto Absalom, that Hushai said unto Absalom, God save the king. God save the king. And Absalom said to Hushai, is this thy kindness to thy friend? Why wouldn't he? He turned his back on King David. Woo! Why wouldn't thou?
Well, he's thinking he is.
Because that's his friend.
Well, he's doing it for David, so he thinks he is. He thinks he is.
Oh,
brother.
Yeah, he's playing. Okay, he's pretending. Yeah, I see that now. So in verse number 3, it says, question 3 says, what was Ahithophel's advice to Absalom? And so it should be somewhere between here and 21. It says in 18, it says,
don't sleep with his concubines.
Oh, yeah. Sure did. He sure did. Yes, he did. And so what good would that do? Okay. Okay, I see. He advised Absalom to go into his father's house, into his father's concubine. Mm-hmm. So all Israel will hear that he is abhorred by his father David. This will strengthen the men with Absalom. So he felt like that would make them be stronger if you go lay with your daddy's wife, concubine. I don't see how he could think something like that.
Well, I think Ahithophel is related to Bathsheba. Ahithophel is Bathsheba's grandfather. It's her grandfather. So he might still be mad at David because of what he did to Bathsheba. He probably still, you know how they be holding grudges.
Right.
They be holding on to stuff. And, because remember he looked, I think it said David, when he saw Bathsheba, he was looking from his, wasn't he up on the rooftop looking at her? Back in when he first met Bathsheba, it said he was looking at her and he wanted her. And so maybe Ahithophel, whatever his name, he remembered that probably and said, well, you need to get up on the rooftop. Because why couldn't he just sleep with him inside the palace? Why you got to get up on the rooftop so that everybody can see? Like it was like revenge. That's what I'm thinking. I'm picturing.
Right.
Some type of revenge to make him feel bad about it. Make David feel some kind of way.
And that's right. You know, none that's crazy. But, like you say, he's holding,
so proper.
Holding a grudge. He's still holding a grudge. I'm telling you, people hold grudges for years and years. I don't understand. But it happened. This happened.
Wow, that is crazy.
So, that was, and it's such an extraordinary thing because things go on and happen just like this nowadays, today. People still hold grudges from 20 years back and still be trying to take you to your death for something like that. Trying to destroy you because what I don't really understand is why Absalom turned against him in the first place. That's his son. If David wouldn't turn against Jonathan, you know he's not going to turn against his son. You're not going to do that. So why
you know
did
what
Absalom?
We were talking about this before, like some weeks ago, and I would love to hear your thoughts about it. But remember when Absalom's brother raped his sister Tamar?
Right.
And Absalom killed his brother, but his daddy didn't do anything. I think Absalom was angry at his daddy because he didn't feel like he was a good king because he let his brother. That's me, and I'm just saying that's just my thoughts. But I'm like, I wonder, because after that, it seemed like Absalom began to revolt. I said, I wonder if he just was mad at his daddy because he let his brother rape his sister. He didn't do nothing about it. And, it just probably kind of built from there. But, I don't know. I thought about that.
I kind of think that, too. I really do. I really kind of think that because that's the only thing I know that David has really done to Absalom. And it seemed like when he went off the scene, I think he went to Jerusalem. He went somewhere and stayed. No, that was another boy.
Yeah, I think Absalom went
That's
away.
That's what I thought.
Because he had killed his brother. I think he did go away.
Yeah. And then David was upset with him from killing his brother. And then he wanted to see his daddy's face. But then after that, where did this madness come from between them? Because David grabbed Absalom and hugged him. And after that, he left again or he did something. But why is it mad? Why is this meanness coming? You know, where is that coming from?
Yeah, that's
it's something.
That's some rage. How do you feel like that?
I'm telling you. But I mean, it's still, even though the enemy was trying to stop us from getting on here tonight and just talking about this lesson, we still had a good lesson. And we still learn something from this lesson, because you cannot continually hold in grudge. And now you're going to try to stone the king. You must be losing your mind. And then there is nothing new on the sun. Back then, sons against fathers and fathers against sons and mothers against daughters. It's the same thing today that's happening. I'm telling you. Same thing. So we have to always be mindful of just that. It's the same thing happening. Nothing new under the sun. So do we have any questions or comments or anything with this thing right here? It's still awesome. You all did real good reading it. Yeah, it was really good. I really thank and praise God that we pressed our way.
I think this is probably David's life is probably the most interesting stories in the Bible.
Yeah, it was, because I mean, even though, you know, we sin and we repent and we turn from it, God will still bless us just like he doing David and have did to David, because David harshly. And God loved David because David was giving his all to whatever. He listened and he obeyed God. And God anointed him king when he was little, when he was just a shepherd boy. You know, he had Samuel to anoint him. So, you know, he was obedient, and then he fought Goliath. He did everything that God would allow him to do. And then, you know, the enemy always going to try to come in and throw a monkey wrench anyway. So he came right in and sent him out on the rooftop the same time Bathsheba, nasty little self, was out there watching her body. And tempting the man, because she could have covered herself up. And see, she looked over there and saw he was over there. I would have said, handmaid, come and cover me up something. You just don't stand there naked. You know, a man is made to like and look at women. So it's not wasn't all his fault. It was not all his fault. It was not all David's fault, because Bathsheba had some whole tendencies. You hear me? Because she wouldn't have been out there. Could have been in the house. But she had some whole tendencies. You hear me? She came right on. She didn't put up no argument, nothing. She's going to say, let me see how you're going to take care of this so I can get over there to you. And then when they kept doing it, because when something is good and it starts, and you start when it's good, you're going to continue until God stop you. So God has hey, I'm just going to give you enough rope, not to just kill you, but to just, you know, show you where you're wrong at. And that's what God did. God allowed, he could have stopped him long time ago. He wanted to see how far David was going to go and what David was going to do afterwards. And he did. He just begged God not to take his son. Now, he didn't kill that lady's husband. And she was right in on it, too, because she just went over there and said, now, look, this, my husband don't do nothing to him. This is my husband, and I love him, or something like that. But she was falling. I had to be falling out of love. She was steady running over to David. She could have told his servant, look, I can't come. I'm married. Something. But, you know, can't refuse the king and all this kind of stuff. But when his punishment came, he stood up for his responsibility, and he fasted. He didn't put no food or water to his lips, and he laid out before the Lord out there in that dirt and put dirt all on his hand and tore his clothes up and tell the Lord, said, no, you're going to have to take this and got to bite this bullet. And the baby died. And when the baby died, he got up and cleaned himself up and ate with the rest of them. And the servants was like, look at him. He was just out there hollering and crying. You know, and they asked the man, how you do that quick? You turn it on and you turn it off. He said, well, he might would have had mercy and changed his mind or something like that. And that's why I did it to the end. You know, but he repented. He repented. And he turned. So, you know, that's why God loved David so much. Because he don't care how, you know, it looked and how and what he did, he was going to repent. And that's why it's so important for us to repent every day. Just repent. I don't care if you think it's, you think you ain't did nothing, still repent. Just still repent. And if you still repent, God going to bless you and forgive you. I'm telling you, he sure will. So does anyone else have anything? Amen. So we just thank and praise God. On Thursday, we'll have 17, 18, and 19 because we have three on this Thursday. Next Thursday, we don't have any Bible study. We'll have it on Tuesday next week, but not Thursday. So we do three on this Thursday coming up. So I really enjoy it. I'm glad we pressed. I got two telephones. Praise ye the Lord. And I'm on here. I can't do a whole lot. So in the morning, I'm at my sister's house because she just came from the hospital with surgery, and I don't have. She may give me the password to her internet in the morning, but just in case you don't, I got two phones. So anyway, I will be on for the wake-up call in the morning. And you all keep praying for me. I'll probably go back to the hotel tomorrow because I want to be able to do all what God has called, all of my assignments. I don't want none of them passed up. So that's why I'm going to probably go back tomorrow. I just wanted to be with her tonight, and she just come home today. So anyway, God bless you all. Let me pray. Father, we just thank you for your word on tonight. We thank you, God, for opening up our understanding on tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we just give you praise. We give you glory on tonight. Lord, I ask you to cover everyone under the sound of my voice, God. Cover everyone and their families, their homes, and their vehicles, God. And we thank you, we pray, we ask all of these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen, amen, amen. So let it be. God bless you all. We're going to get off, and we will, and by the grace of God, I'll be on in the morning. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you. Amen.
Amen. God bless you all. Love you all.
Amen.
You all have a great night. Love you all.
Amen. Love you all.
Love you too. Good night.